Throughout the Chapter 2 mutual funds presentations, we emphasized that mutual funds are really easy investments once you've made a choice, or two, or maybe three. That part of mutual fund investing is very difficult. But eventually you're going to have to make a choice. And what I recommended, and I'm not alone, is to find companies that have been around for a long time and have done well in good times and bad times. So at the end of our presentation, in our last presentation, we focused on just one mutual fund because you got to start somewhere, right? And this mutual fund has been around for 88 years. Is that long enough for you? So we're going to take a look at how much wealth a well-run, long-term-oriented, prudent mutual fund. There are many, folks. I'm not just trying to tell you this is the only one. In fact, this one is a domestic growth and income fund. I'm a real big fan of growth and income stock mutual funds. But for most people starting out, especially younger folks, a global fund, I think, is a better choice. But it's not as though the United States is not a bad place to invest. In fact, it's one of the best, if not the best, around the world. And that's what this mutual fund does. It focuses on the United States. There's another discussion about what the top 75 investments in the mutual fund, top 75 stocks in it, and you can take a look at that another time. But what we're going to do now is see how well it's done for us over 88 years. What have you done for me lately? This is called a hypothetical illustration, or just sometimes called a hypothetical illustration. The mutual fund companies, brokerage firms, insurance, life insurance companies will show them. And you have to be a licensed individual, by the way, to use them, because they have to be authorized and vetted and approved by regulatory authorities. You just can't put together a spreadsheet and show how great your investments are going to be. And you're going to see in these documents that there are all kinds of disclaimers that nobody reads, by the way. So let's see if we can. Investments are not FDIC insured, nor are they deposits of or guaranteed by a bank or any other entity. So they may lose value. It might as well be Gregorian chant for all. Nobody reads it, right? They can't. It's all legalese. Figures shown are past results and not predictive of results in future periods. Current and future results may be lower or higher than those shown. Prices and returns will vary, so investors may lose money. And this actually is a very good one. Investing for short periods makes losses more likely. Aha, indeed. I like that, but nobody reads it. And so here's all the, but it's actually very useful, folks. If you ever have insomnia at night, pick up one of these illustrations or a prospectus or one of the other regulatory documents and start reading. And I guarantee within a few minutes, you'll be fast asleep. Anyway, let's get down to the good stuff here. So for some reason, I don't know why, I don't know who decided on $10,000, but that's what they chose. Whenever you take a look at an investment, you'll see, if you had invested $10,000, as if, how many people have $10,000 lying around the house? But anyway, you go back to the January 1st, 1934. Actually, my understanding is it actually started on December 31st, 1933, but who's quibbling? And by the way, this mutual fund actually goes back to the mid-1920s, but this is when it was taken over by a different company, so they start the clock over again. At January 1st, 1934, so you had $10,000. Look, this is in the middle of the Great Depression, and we were bouncing around, look at kind of craziness. It was a very rocky time, very scary time. And then World War II hit, and it still was not so good. But then here come the end of the war, and the post-World War II generation just went nuts. The economy exploded, and in the 1950s and 60s, stocks went in two directions, up and way up, until finally, by 1971, 1972, your $10,000 had become over a million, 1.2 million at the end of 1972. And what did you hear people say? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? Yeah, stocks had gone in two directions, up and way up, and had blown by any reasonable valuations, as we'll learn about valuations of stocks later on in chapters 4, 5, and 6. So stick with us. But stocks were way overpriced, right? And so along comes the 1973-1974 bear market, various reasons, inflation, the first oil crisis, Watergate, Vietnam. But the big problem was that stocks were just very high, and the baby boom generation was coming of age, which means they all needed to go get jobs and houses and refrigerators and cars. It's a very difficult time in the 1970s. Plus, disco. I mean, I know some of you laugh, but you didn't live through it. And so you didn't run, though. You didn't hide. You stuck with it. And sure enough, look, 2 years later, by 1975, 1976, you have, I don't like why it does that, but I don't know how to stop it. You have gone past where your high water point was at the end of 1972. So that's the important thing to remember. You heard here in 1974, at the end of 1974, ooh, is it too late to get out? And when you hear that, that's when you know that's the time you should be investing, right? But yeah, it's too late to get, now's the time to invest. No, I don't want to invest. You see what it just lost? Well, these guys lost about 30-some percent. The market lost almost 50%. So these guys actually held up better during the downturns, which is what personally I'm a big fan of. I like mutual funds that hold up well in the downturn. Don't tell me how well you've done in good times. I mean, any idiot, yourself, myself included, right? Your humble instructor can do well in a bull market. It's when things go bad. That's when I want to know how well you did. So sure enough, you didn't run, you didn't hide, and now comes the 1980s. Go-go, technology, globalization, computerization, telecommunications. And in the 1980s and the 1990s, you saw the market go in two directions, up and way up. The one interesting year, which we'll discuss when we get to stocks, was 1987. If you had started it at the beginning of 1987, at the end of 1986, and then saw that you had 6.6 million, 6.7 million, and then went to sleep for a year, and woke up at the end of the year, you would have said, hey, it was actually not a bad year, up about 5% or so, 7 million. But what you didn't see is that this 6.6 million became over 9 million by August, and then dropped below 6.68 by October, the worst day of the history of the markets, October 19th, 1987, Black Monday. It's a roller coaster, folks, and that's why we have to keep a long-term perspective. But as we said, in the 1980s and 1990s, with a few blips along the way, the market went in two directions, up and way up, and by the year 2000, you had $47 million. Oh my goodness. Oh, rich, rich, rich. And then 2 years later, you had $38, $39 million. That was the 2000 to 2002 bear market, right? Internet bubble exploding. What did you hear people saying in 2000? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get in? What did you hear people saying in 2002? Ooh, 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 is it too late to get out? You know, nothing. Well, we don't change. Our emotions, humans don't change. The technology changes, and there's always new opportunities, and some people become filthy rich, and others lose everything. But anyway, you didn't run, you didn't hide. You hung on throughout the 2000s, and then there was a few go-go years, the Iraq War and the like, and sure enough, the housing bubble, oh my goodness. Sure enough, by 2007, you had $70 million. Wow. And then 1 year later, after 2008, you had $46 million. Look, folks, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. I don't know how. I don't know when. Sometimes they repeat. They rhyme. They echo. You hear history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes or it echoes. But it's going to happen. We know the markets are going to fall. We don't know when. And we know that unless the world ends, which might happen, we know it happens someday, a billion years from now, the sun gets very, very large and destroys the Mercury and Venus and the Earth. So, but we have, a billion years to prepare for that. Anyway, we didn't run, we didn't hide, even though we lost 30-some percent, and we kept up our investing, and sure enough, by the year 2012, we had come back, and now, since the Great Recession, the global financial crisis, it's been off to the races, up and way up, to the point where you now hear people saying, ooh, is it too late to get in cryptocurrencies, NFTs, the fangs, the meme stocks? Yeah, I'm expecting, I don't know when, it might happen this year, might happen next year, might not happen for, I don't know, but it's going to happen. I mean, some stocks are way overpriced, others are pretty reasonable, so it's a little strange mix of what's happening now. But when you see people becoming instant millionaires, not necessarily through stocks, but through these cryptocurrencies and NFTs, you know it's coming. It's going to happen. That's what was going on in housing. Housing was going up in the mid-2000s. You knew it was going to happen. The trick is to know how much of it will affect the entire economy. And that's why we call economics the dismal science, because nobody knows. But still, after 88 years, your $10,000 has become $246 million, folks, at an average annual rate of 12.18%. Now, remember, I told you 8, 9, 10% over the long term. But you see, some people have done a whole lot better. A whole lot better. Some people have done a whole lot worse. Right. And personally, I like to look for mutual funds, since I'm a mutual fund investor myself, that have done well over decades, in good times, most importantly, in bad times. So let's take a look at the graph, and what we see is an exponential curve. Look, the first 40 years, and still, this is arithmetic. If it had been logarithmic, it would look more like a straight line. And that's what we saw in chapter one. We saw logarithmic scales. And people don't really understand logarithms. They're there to make exponential curves into straight lines. And so we're showing you an exponential curve, and you see it. But look, the first 40 years, even though there were a lot of times when it went up and down a lot, you can barely see it because of the fact that we see the exponential curve start to rise and climb exponentially, the wee up in the air. Now, these downturns are rough to live through, but we know they're going to happen. Okay, so what's the takeaway? If we have a long-term perspective, if we're consistent, prudent, don't panic, don't get too greedy, and the world doesn't end, we should do pretty well. But I already hear what you're saying. I don't want to wait 88 years. And neither do I. So what we're going to now see, you're going to see another presentation that shows 30 years, 40 years, or even maybe 20 years, depending on your age, with the same mutual fund. And again, this is not the only one out there, folks. I'm not trying to get you all run out and invest in the Investment Company of America. But I love the name, right? It's an investment company, mutual fund, and of America. Of course, that's what they name things. RCA, Radio Corporation of America, right? Alcoa was Aluminum Corporation of America. They changed the names to Alcoa and RCA and ICA because I guess it just sounds dated, right, to name things. One of my favorite funds is the Growth Fund of America, and they didn't really change that name. They still call it the Growth Fund of America. And we discussed that one in the second presentation. So take some time now to look at the illustrations for 30, 40, and then 20 years. Cool? We are so proud of you, dear students. Thank you so much for being in our class. You are rising investment gurus. And you know now that the news is pretty good, if the world doesn't end. in which case all bets are off. See ya!